kids all juiced up on candy, because really they shouldn't eat them till after service. Yeah, that way mom and dad can control them. And so, but it is good candy. You say, how do I know? Because I've tried it. I got to try it. I mean, so good stuff, man. So, amen. All right. Take your Bibles and let's see where we're going to go. Well, you can go to Galatians 17 and do what? Yeah, Galatians 17. If you want to go there, you can go someplace else if you want. Oh! Well, all right. How about Galatians? Let me see where I got to go now, because I didn't put the address there. I just put the scripture. Let me see. I think I can find that. There, it's not too many chapters. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, Galatians chapter... let's see. Yeah, it's Galatians 5. I thought my son was just being a smart aleck today. No, he never does that. Oh, by the way, just to let you know, now Australia is passing a law, and it'll soon be here. They are, I'm serious as a heart attack. That's a dumb thing to say. They are going to outlaw sarcasm. I won't be able to talk. They really, I heard the other day, they're passing a law to outlaw sarcasm. I mean, yeah. it's getting a little bit too political correct for me. So anyway, amen. All right. Well, Galatians 17, and this is the fifth message on the hidden soul of the hidden power of the soul. And of course, we're dealing with what God created in man, the body, soul, and spirit. And two times we've went through distinguishing what each one of these members are. The spirit is conscience, intuition, and communion, which is also fellowship. And can you guys see this? I can do that. I hate to shut out Montana sun, but come on, you jerk. Is that all right? Okay. And anyway, and then this the soul, or the soul is volition, or your will, and we all have a free will, your mind and emotions, and whatever you think about, whatever you in your brain and thing, you think it automatically comes from the mind. It doesn't. It comes from the soul. Now, then we went with the spirit and the soul, and of course then what we're going to have to teach on the body today. And so now I want to go into it just a little bit here, and before I get into my notes and everything, but let's read Galatians 5 and verse 17, start at verse 17. The lust, let's see, well, okay, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, and you could go down through there and you can read them. Now we found out what the works are of the spirit was. We found out what the work of the soul is, and the Bible tells you here the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you. So them are the works of the flesh, okay? We discussed the function of the soul and the spirit, and so we're going to talk about the body. Now here's something that maybe you knew, but I think a lot, we've been at Baptist, we've been taught a lot different. We were taught that, I'm going to draw this over here, we've got the spirit, the soul, and the body, okay? So you got, this is the body, and this is the soul, and this is the spirit, okay? Now, if you will go to Colossians, Jason, go to Colossians 2 and read about circumcision there. You're circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. Just read a verse or two of that. Okay. Now, here is what we was taught, and I always had a. There was always something in me that didn't make sense, and so we were taught that when you got saved, that your spirit was cut away, or your spirit and your soul were cut away from your body, and so what you had was a. If you was to draw a man here, that the soul was, when you got saved, that the spirit, wherever the spirit was at, and nobody ever knew, was cut away from the soul and the spirit. You say, well, what shape is a spirit? A soul. The soul is the shape of a body, okay? And we were taught that the spirit and the soul both were cut away from the flesh. Now, and the reason that, and I understand why, because we figured that the flesh always meant just this outward shell, our body, okay? But it doesn't. See, that's the big sticker. So when you got saved, let me get a eraser here. What actually happened when you received Christ? Did my phone just go numb there? Okay, all right. Maybe it's my hearing aid. Get that ugly looking dude. Okay, so what actually happened when you got saved is, I'm going to put it this way. And you got a spirit, you got a soul, and you got a body. When you got saved, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul said Shannon, go to Romans 7, and I think it's 9, 10, or 11, where Paul says, "For I was without the law once, but when but read, I want you to read 9, 10, 11. Now listen to these verses. Okay, slew him. What was Paul talking about? He's talking about his spirit was slew. In other words, when he realized that he was sinned against God, something died in, just like Adam, remember? And it was spirit. Now, that death is not a graveyard dead like we think that when somebody dies, we go put them in the grave. That death, in what it's talking about there, is the spirit was it was almost like put in a coma, you might say. And the connection, everything that Adam, the way he connected with God was through his spirit. That's the only way you can connect with God, right? For they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Your flesh can't communicate with God. Your soul can't communicate with God. Just your spirit. So that connection was broken. Now, what happened when Jason read, Shannon read, Paul says, when sin revived and I died, we know what happened. It wasn't a graveyard dead, but the connection between him and God was totally broken. There was no way for God to communicate to him, and he couldn't communicate to God. His spirit was like almost in a coma. It was non-functionable. Okay? But when you get born again, God comes in and does a circumcision, but he cuts your spirit away from your soul. And so what? And so now, well, you have, when you got saved, God cut your spirit away from your soul and your body. Okay? Because the soul is where all your emotions, everything else come from. That is you. That is your, and when God, now remember what God said, that he created man, he breathed into them the breath of life. And then in chapter 3, when in chapter 5 and 6, God didn't call them, he called them flesh. Right? When God breathed into them, they become a living soul, and when they sinned, when Adam sinned, instead of calling that body, he called it flesh. So here's the boogeyman that we've been taught that you have to put the flesh, which we ordinarily think of this body, to death. Paul says, "I die daily," right? We always assume that it's the deeds of this body. When God says in the New Testament of flesh, he can be talking about either one. Now, here's the problem. You've got a body and a soul that's stuck together. Your spirit is separated. The sin cannot affect your spirit. Okay? But you have, now you have two sides to something that sins. You have a body and you have a soul. And God calls them flesh. Now, does that make sense? Now, we have, as good Baptists, have been trained to put this body, this outward thing, there. And Paul said, there is no good thing in my flesh. Well, we just assumed, I'm going to speak as me, that he's talking about this. No. He's talking about both. His soul and his spirit. His soul and his body. Because, and now here's good, and so that's what I want you to get. You have, to this thing that is separated from your spirit, you've got two sides of that thing. You've got a body side and you got a soul side. And God calls them flesh. And it can be talking about either one or both. The context will always tell you what it's talking about most of the time. Okay? So we get rid of, all of our preaching is good Baptist preaching is against sins of this, the works of the flesh, which is the works of the body. All them sins that we do, and that's what we concentrate on of getting rid of. And so, but there's the soul side of it. Now let me ask you a question. What is the functions of the soul? All your emotions, all your thoughts, what you are really, are they always godly? No, they're not. So that's the problem. And so we've been taught this thing that as long as we get rid of all these sins of the flesh, which he's not only talking about the body, he's talking about the soul, we're in good shape. Well, here's the problem again. So we're going to talk about the the flesh, and I'll be telling you which one sometimes, but it's them stuck together. And so you have one side, and then you have another side. Now, this body, let's say the body side, are sins of the flesh, what the body will produce. We see the sins that it produces, okay? And here's the problem. According to the Bible, the works of or functions of the flesh are of two kinds, though both are of the flesh, meaning they're put together. These are unrighteous. Now get this. I hope this answers a lot of questions for you. This body can produce nothing but unrighteous sins. And I just read you a list of them. Okay? But the soul side of that flesh, you ready? All it can produce is self-righteous works. They're both unrighteous. But one, the body, can do nothing but sin. The soul side of that union can produce good works. Self-righteousness. Our flesh can produce both, and again, our flesh can produce not only defiling sins, but also commendable moral sins. The one side, the body, is unrighteous, defiling sins. The soul side is still the soul, but now it's just self-righteousness, and they're commendable. How much do we build each other up? Remember, knowledge does what? Puffeth up. Even good knowledge will puff you up. Now, we don't like to hear this stuff, because now we got to pay attention to what we do. As you know, God uses the word flesh to describe man's corrupt nature or life, which embraces a soul and a body. And also, as we have seen in the scriptures, the creative act of God's soul is placed between the spirit and the body. We know that. That is between what is heavenly or spiritual and what is earthly and physical. And we also know that because of the fall of man, the flesh is devoid of the spirit. You understand that? Your flesh, there is nothing righteous. It can do nothing righteous. It's totally void of working with the Spirit. If you ever think you're going to bring it in, and that's what we do. We try to bring our body, this body, outward thing, into cahoots or to get it to working with the Spirit, and they are unreconcilable. And we beat ourselves to death about it. It is the flesh that is devoid of spirit, and the soul and the body, accordingly, we are joined together to be flesh. And so now that soul and body is directly opposed to the spirit, or what we read in verse 17 of it lusteth against the spirit. What? Your soul and your body lusteth against the spirit. Now, you say, well, my goodness, now, what do we have to? Well, we all have a problem with self, right? And when we look at Christianity today as a whole, not all, but kind of as a whole, you'll see that most of the works for God are done from the soul side of this. They're commendable. we are so schooled and so trained, and we take classes of how to represent ourselves, how to speak, how to, our vocabulary has to be just right. Paul says, I am rude in speech, yet not knowledge. Paul was one of the most educated men in his days, and he talked plain. And so we got going on, and it doesn't matter from the pulpit. It doesn't matter if it's whatever work is being done in the church today. With all of our technology and everything else, if it was not based on self, the world would all be saved. But so much of it today, and it's commendable. We spend much, much more time in preparing that everybody sees everything that's going on, and all the services function right on cue and everything else, and then we do in yielding to the Lord about what's going to be preached. It's to attract. It's to build up self. Where does that come from? It comes from the soul side of that union, and simply fact of it is they are self-righteous deeds. So anyway, again, we can see in the scriptures the opposition manifested by the flesh against our spirit and against the Holy Spirit is twofold. The way of committing sin on that body side that cannot produce nothing, commits sin, rebels against God, and breaking the law of God. That's all it can do. Your body, that's it. On the soul side, by way of performing good, and we even obey God in a lot of things and follow the will of God in some things, the body element of the flesh is full of sin and lust. Naturally, it cannot be expressed. It can only express itself in sin and lust after the Holy Spirit. That's what it said in Galatians 5:17. They lust after the Spirit. What do you mean lust? They lust after the Spirit to try to perform like the Spirit does, to emulate what the Spirit does. That's what that thing is talking about. It lusteth against it. And so, but still, where's it coming from? Though it imitates it perfectly. Now, wait a minute. The Antichrist is going to imitate Jesus Christ perfectly. But it's unrighteousness. God looks at it as unrighteousness. It doesn't matter which one of them are doing it. One is commendable, and boy, adultery or fornication or murder, oh my goodness, you can't be saved doing them sort of things. Oh, but a preacher can get up and preach false doctrine and do it totally in the flesh, and we're all twinkling. Oh, isn't he wonderful? And God says, hey, that's just as much sin as the other. That is all about self. And so we're constantly trying to take care of this body, make it do right. And we forget about living to self in everything we do. Why? We haven't been taught that. They're stuck together. They function as one. But one cannot do anything right. The other can. But it's still coming out of the soul. It's self-righteousness. Even, remember, I don't know where it's that verse is. It talks about the guy says, stand over there, come not near because I'm holier than thou. What is that? That is hypocrisy. That's what the Pharisees did. Totally. spiritual did they act? They run around with their robes and their bells and their whistles and all this stuff, and they prayed all this time, and all it was a member when and the guy the guy came in and smote his breast and wouldn't even look up to God and prayed, but the Pharisee says, "I thank God that I'm not like him." Self-righteousness. And it comes from the two elements. It comes from the soul side of that reunion. And see, all the time, we thought we were just dealing, because we thought the soul and the spirit were together. We thought that soul and spirit was down here, and they were together, and they were cut loose from the flesh. No, no. And so we weren't concerned about our self-righteousness. Oh, we get preached about it. No, man, they are stuck together now. It's always been that way in the Old Testament. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. They were stuck together. Basically, they were all three together back then in the Old Testament. And we were always taught, when we got saved, Christ come in and done circumcision. Yes, he did. But he done it from the spirit, cutting away from the soul and the body. Now them two are automatically joined together, and we try to take care of the one and totally deny the other. Do you ever wonder why people just give up in church? Quit working. Just can't handle it. They're doing everything off this side here. As long as things are going good and they feel good about what they're doing, they're willing to do it. But you let a little opposition come along, and what happens? They get all huffed up. They get all mad. And they quit. Why? Nothing spiritual about it. It was all coming from the soul. Emotions. Men and women. Just as bad one or the other. They just work different. So the basic characteristic of the works of the soul is independence or self-dependence. Even so, the soul side is not as... Now, here's something you got to remember. Even so, the soul side is not as defiled as the body side, because it can produce good moral works. The body can't. It can't. You got to remember that. And that's where this commendable stuff comes out of. It's not as defiled as the body side. It nonetheless is hostile to the Holy Spirit. Having to understand that, we can do good in the flesh. And you've been around Christianity long enough to know that. It's good in their eyes. Okay? It's good in their eyes, and maybe some other that they're in a click with eyes. But if you're not in that click, then you're just you may not even be saved. Right? Let me show you. Go to John chapter 3. Let me show you a verse. I looked at this thing and I looked at it. John chapter 3, very familiar verse. It's talking about Nicodemus, right? And John chapter 3, and Nicodemus, you know, he came in to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to know about it. And so the Lord explains to him about being born again and what is flesh. Now notice this. We always use this for witnessing and everything, but on this context, look at it. Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. True. Nicodemus saith to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, now look at this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Christ is telling Nicodemus, though the natural man the soul side may be good naturally, but now do you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 about the natural man? He may be good, and we'll go to there some later date, but he receives nothing from God. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness in him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So Christ is telling Nicodemus, though the natural man may be good naturally, he's nonetheless regarded as flesh. Talking about that soul side. When I looked at that, I thought, that's what he's doing. We don't understand it. But now, go to Galatians chapter 3. You're doing good. Galatians chapter 3. Do you understand how when your enemy keeps you from knowledge, how much advantage he has over you? Do you understand by keeping this knowledge from a Christian that all he thinks he's got to take care of is the works of the flesh, doing right, keeping from these adultery, murder and all that stuff, and you're doing good? But when he's got us hoodwinked. And so all this Christianity that's going on in the flesh is still not pleasing God. Okay. Now look at Galatians chapter 3 along this line here. Look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? See, he's done it to Christians today. He's bewitched them. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And he's talking about both of them. Both these. Do you think you can do all these good deeds out of the soul side and think you're spiritual? I taught you better than that. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying you're foolish to think that's nothing spiritual. You began in the Spirit. Now you began in the Spirit, and your works were after the Spirit because they were about others. They were about helping others, doing others. It was about others. The soul is self-edification, self-unrighteousness. Well, in our eyes, it's self-righteousness, but God says it's self-unrighteousness. And he said, you learned this way. You started out this way, but now it's all coming from here. Oh, you're not doing the bad deeds of the flesh or the body. You're just doing everything out of the soul side of this. It's self. Now, I know none of us have any of that problem like that, but the Galatians did, and so we need to be aware of it. Here again, we can see that God's children had descended into the error of doing good by the flesh, at least again in their own eyes. Look at Galatians chapter 2, just above you there in verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Now look at this thing. And he says, and so he was talking to those who have been saved. Paul's talking to the same bunch. He's talking to them that have been saved, still insisting on gaining righteousness according to the law. Look at verse 16 of chapter 2. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, let me ask you a question. When somebody is doing the works of the law, they are saying, do you remember what the law was in the Old Testament? that you had to do things this way or that way. And if you didn't, you broke the law. What does self-righteousness or self-unrighteousness always say? You do it my way. Okay? Totally opposite. The Spirit says, you do it God's way. This says, do it your way, my way. Whatever way works justifies the means. Wrong. Paul is telling us that inasmuch as sinners can not be saved through their efforts, so we who have been regenerated, born again, likewise cannot be perfected through any righteous act of the flesh, the body, or the soul side, either one. Paul's telling us, in as much as sinners cannot be saved through their efforts, so we can't fix it. We cannot please God in that same means by doing anything. You understand? You don't have to do things to please God. That's works. The only thing you have to do is yield to Him. That's it. And everything else is self-righteousness or unrighteousness. How many religious organizations do you know of I believe salvation, they've got it. But if you don't do it this way, you don't have it. If you don't do it this way, you lose it. If you don't. And Baptists are just as bad. They believe you're saved, once saved, always saved. But if you don't do it this way, this way, this way, and this way, my way, according to my traditions and my standards, you're not spiritual. Where do you think that garb comes from? It comes from the soul, from the side that can produce good works in our own eyes. And so you get all these cliques in the church. Well, you got one too many kids, so you're just, or you don't have enough kids, or you don't wear a tie and he wears a tie. So that's all we've got in our churches. I'm going to come in someday on flip-flops and Bermuda shorts and tank top, just to see how many of you croak. You wear yours too. Amen. All right. But anyway, you see what we've got ourselves into. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 1. There, I used to argue with guys about this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Did the verse stop there? No. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What flesh is that talking about? I believe it's talking about that soul side of the body. Of that union. And if you follow that, there's going to be condemnation. You say, is that talking about hell? No. It's talking about just your life is going to be messed up. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Yay, amen, that's good, that's perfect. But the verse didn't stop. Who walk not after the flesh. You quit trying to follow that flesh and you follow the Spirit, and there's no condemnation. But after the Spirit. When we follow that flesh, what are self-righteous, there's condemnation. And we know there is. Now, look on down to verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, and I believe he's particularly talking about that soul side of this union. Because he's preached enough on the sins of the body. Side. You know, all them. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Let me ask you, in most good churches today, and I'm not being mean, you don't have people that are murderers and rapers and stuff like that, do you? No. It's not the sins of the body they're worried about. That's why I think Paul is talking about this self-righteous junk. It's talking about the soul side. For they that are after the flesh, now he just calls them connected because they are connected. There's a union between them, just like a married man and woman. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded, which reverts back to the flesh. Now, where does carnal minded come from? It cannot come from the body, because your mind and things, it comes from the soul. We mind the thing. What it? We've got our. We're working totally off the emotions, and it comes off. He says, for to be carnal minded or flesh minded, talking about that soul, is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or the fleshly mind, the soul side, is enmity against God. Now see, here's the problem. We all know that this body cannot produce anything good. It's enmity between God and this body all the time. That's why Paul's not talking about our physical body. He's talking about the flesh side of that soul, because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, that soul side, out of self-righteousness and self-righteousness, can not please God. Here Christ implies that the fleshly have tried, but unsuccessfully, to please God, but they still think they have. Now, real quick, go to 1 Corinthians 2, that 1 Corinthians 2:14, right after Romans. And we'll get back into this verse later on down the road. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the well-known verse, but the natural man, what's that natural man? That is the soul side of this thing, of that union. But the natural man receiveth not. Now let me ask you something. Are we so confused that we think, okay, though we know that God hates our body and our body hates God, do we think that God is talking about here the natural man? Because what makes the natural man? It was when God breathed into Adam, into this body, the breath of life, and he become a living soul. That's his natural life from this soul. So what is Paul talking about, the natural man? He's talking about the soul side of this union, not the body. He knows it's wicked. God knows it's wicked. We know it's wicked. And so we have to understand that the flesh, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, wait a minute. The body can't do that either. That's right. And neither can that soul side, Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, notice the word foolishness. Let me ask you, is murder foolishness? No, murder is a sin. Where does our foolishness come out of? Our mind, our soul side of that thing. They're foolish. It's like, that's why over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, by the foolishness of preaching. So he says, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have to understand that the flesh and soul is able to do what needs to be done in spiritual work and do it expertly. We've been trained that way. After 30 years, you may not learn much, but you learn something. You learn what pleases people and what doesn't please people. That comes out of that soul. Now, right here is where a lot of believers err in knowing only that the evil of the flesh must be destroyed without understanding that the good of the flesh and the soul needs to be destroyed as well. Now, that gets hard to take. Now, the nature of good works of the flesh and the soul. We saw them there in Galatians, but look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to close here in just a minute. Look at Philippians chapter 3. The nature of good works of the flesh and soul, that union. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, Paul is talking here, and he's talking to Christians. He calls them brethren. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. That concision is Jewish teachers, okay? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul is talking about that soul side of that union and has no confidence in the flesh. And that's where we need to understand. Look at verse 5. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day. He goes through and gives you all these things. And he says, but you know what? He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What is produced in self-righteousness? See, when Paul was, before he got saved, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Everything that he done was for self-benefit. Now think about it. And you know what he said? That his conscience was void between God and man. It was. He was unsaved. He done it with gusto, you might say, persecuting the Christians. And he was righteous. How was he righteous? According to the law. Well, where'd that come from? The soul, the mind. The difference between the good works of the flesh and the good works which flows from the new life, again, is that flesh always self, it's about self. Self is at center. And the new life, which comes from the Spirit, which Christ rose again to give us, is about others. It's always about others. One of the quickest ways to figure if somebody is spiritual or not, see if it's about them or about others. Okay? As we've said, self-confidence and self-reliance are the notable traits of the good works of the flesh side of the soul. Whatever does not issue from waiting on God and depending upon the Holy Spirit is unquestionably the flesh. The old creature is willing to do. Now get this. That old creature, that nature, old nature, which comes from the soul side, that old creation is willing to do anything. Now get this. Even to submit to God in some things, if only it is permitted to live and still to be active in self. That's how far it'll go to not be destroyed. And God says what? We're to put that thing on the cross. Not just the body, that body of sin was taken care of on the cross with Christ. But this other side of this thing is, if I sin, he is faithful and just. If I confess my sins, he is faithful. We've got to take care of and watch constantly. The flesh will never acknowledge its weakness nor admit to its uselessness. It is a spiritual truism. There's truisms in everything. Well, here's a spiritual truism. That whatever or whenever the flesh is serving God, there and then the power of sin is strengthened if he's serving God in the flesh. Somewhere it works out to sin. Doesn't matter what it is. The power of sin is always strengthened, whether we can see it or even the ones doing it can see it. In God's eyes, it's strengthened. One of the greatest blunders Christians make today is to understand only that the flesh has to be put to death and never know that soul life and its good works must also be put to death. The cross takes care of everything. Amen? You can come on up. You've got a song for her? Satan is willing to allow the sinful part of our flesh to be offered unto death. That body side. Satan's allowed. If you want to offer that, have at it. If he may only deceive us into retaining the good works coming from the flesh side of it. In our eyes. But God looks upon it as sin. When we don't put all to death, Satan still has a base from which to operate to recover that side which he lost. He's always trying to gain ground. He never gives up. He always tries to take back what he lost. Again, this explains why many Christians fall back into the service of sin after they've been set free from it. They just give up. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Freedom. "Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Now look there. You've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, the soul side of that thing, but by love. What is that soul? It's all about self. And then he stipulates what we're supposed to do. But by love, serve one another. You cannot serve pure love. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the love of charity. You cannot serve according to God out of love from either one of them unions. It can only come from the Spirit of Christ. It comes through your spirit. "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but love, by love serve one another." Comes out of the Spirit. Amen? All right. So, that's all I've got today. But we can I hope you see, maybe God gave you something that there, Jason, you got a song for there, that we've got two things to worry about. Say, "Oh, great. Now I got some more to worry about." Yeah? It was always there. You just didn't know about it. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. But the simple fact of it is how he has tricked the Christians. And as much as Christ hates sin, much of the New Testament, especially a lot of the New Testament, it's talking about how he hates hypocrisy. Hypocrisy comes from self. That's what all the Pharisees were about. God hates it with a passion, and yet we think we're serving him. No? Only by the Spirit. What do you got?